Welcome back to Epilogues, an unpacking of the weekly Haftorah. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Trump. This week we are going to be learning the Haftorah of Parshas Miketz. Parshas Miketz, you don't usually hear the Haftorah to, for the simple reason is that it is usually Shabbos Chanukah. However, there are years in which Parshas Miketz is not on Chanukah, and then we get to hear the lesser known Haftorah. Our Haftorah is the Judgment of Shlomo, which Mishpat Shlomo, which occurs in Sefer Melachim, Aleph Perek Gimel, last Pasuk, which is Tesvav, and then Perek Dalad there afterwards. We get into this Haftorah at a point where Shlomo Melech has had a dream. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him and says, Shlomo, you've been walking in my ways. I will give you the gift of anything you ask for. And instead of asking for riches, for health, for family, for success or legacy, Shlomo HaMelech asks for a lev shomer, for a heart that listens. Immediately upon waking up, we now hear about the application of this, which is a very famous court case that comes in front of Shlomo HaMelech. So we hear about two nashim zonos, literally means women of the night, who come in front of when the king, and they present their cases. So the cases are the following. They say that they stayed in the same room or the same apartment overnight, and they both had their children. They both had babies, and one of the children has died. Asher shachvalov, she was the child was where the mother was sleeping, and the first one claims that the other one had taken her live child and switched it with the dead child. So when they woke up in the morning, they had the different children. She knows it's not the right case. And she says, I wake up and the child that I'm holding is dead, but it's not my child. I know it's not my child, she says. And the other lady claims, no, b'ni ha-chai u'b'nei chameis. My son is the live one and yours is the dead one. And the other one says, no, b'nei chameis u'b'ni ha-chai. Your son is the dead one, my son is the live one. And there's no way to figure this out. There's no DNA evidence. There's no witnesses. What do you do in such a situation? So the king says, you know what, let's bring out a sword, and what we'll do is we'll split the child who is alive into two. And then we'll give each of you half. So the woman who really was the mother says, no, please don't do that. Rather just let the other lady have it and let him be alive. And the one who really wasn't the mother, whose child really died, said, yes, go ahead, let's split the child. And Shlomo HaMelech pointed out that, in fact, the child belongs to the one. The child is the child of the mother who wouldn't want her child to die. And then the Haftorah concludes by saying, Vayishmu'u kol Yisrael es mishpat asher shafat ha-melech, vayir'u mipnei ha-melech. And people were now in awe of the king. They realized that Shlomo HaMelech really had this incredible ability to be able to understand people and understand a way forward to deal with people. Very, very powerful Haftorah, which can be said over here. Obviously, the connection that seems to be to the parasha is Yosef listening to Paro and really being able to interpret his dreams in a way that is fitting for the king, in a way that is clearly not just based on human logic and smarts. Okay, so just a few basic questions when trying to understand our Haftorah. First, the question is, why is this right now? Why is this case happened right here? And the Malbim says it's been orchestrated. Hashem allowed this to happen in order to demonstrate to the Chachma of Shlomo immediately after he requested this Lev Shomer. Why is it prostitutes? So the Midrash in Shir HaShirim Rabbah discusses this, and it says it could have really been demons to test him. Ruchos Hayu, the Rav says. So it could have been that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set this up. These weren't real people. That's one option. Another option the Midrash says is that Rabbanon Amrim Yavamos Hayu. These are Yavamos. Now the reason why that's important is because a Yavama is a lady whose husband has died and now would need to marry the brother of the deceased if there are no children. But if there is a child, then they would be released from that responsibility. And so in a certain sense, there's greater gravity on this discussion about whether or not they have a child or not because of that situation. So that sort of adds weight to it. And finally, the last explanation the Midrash offers is Zonois Mamash. They really were prostitutes, the Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says. And if you think about that for a moment, then there's probably a love-hate relationship with a child as well, which makes it even more complex in the sense that she's naturally a mother, but at the same time, this wasn't a child she intended to have, and this is going to now be something which will hamper her profession. And so these are there's a hate and love relationship in already complicating issues as well. How did the baby die? So the Radak points out that there couldn't have been, that there was some sort of disease that one mother knew more than the other. They were both healthy children, and he is medayak from the words. He looks at the words, Asher shochva alav, that she must have, Rachman Litzon, killed the baby in her sleep. Perhaps she suffocated it with the way that she slept, and that also compounds the guilt that's experienced over here as well. Now, how does Shlomo HaMelech know the truth? So the Malbim says, well, the first thing that you can notice over here is that which argument goes first. The one lady says, my child is alive, the other one is the dead one. The other one says, yours is the dead one, mine's the alive one. So what's the focus? Is it about the which child is dead or which child's alive? That's the one observation that's made. But the Malbim points out that that itself is not necessarily a good proof, because it could be that the woman's saying what she knows to be true first, what she knows absolutely true. First, which would put it in the opposite direction, so it's not obvious from what they're saying as well. And so this really comes down to a wisdom which is beyond the words as well, his lev shomea, his ability to be able to hear. He didn't make a prognosis, he let them speak first, hear all their claims, and then had a suggestion as well. It's also, and as Radak points out, is that he is able to reveal the hidden intention between the mother, in the mother's words. Meaning, where the bereft mother probably didn't have malintent. She just wanted a child. But what Shlomo HaMelech was revealing in her is more than she even wanted a child, was that she didn't want anyone else to have a child when she had lost her child, which is often, unfortunately, a psychological phenomenon, that a person wants success, and if they don't have success, they want no one in their same category to have success. And what Shlomo HaMelech was revealing in her was that it wasn't just the intent to have a child in the space of the lost child as well. It was deeper than that, and that's what he was revealing over here as well. And in fact, the Gemara says in Makos, this is one of the three places where I fear Ruach HaKodesh that the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Ruach HaKodesh was expressed in the courts of man. And the one example that's given is the case of Shlomo HaMelech as well. It's worthwhile knowing that that this could also be an important discussion to apply. When David HaMelech was given a court case beforehand in Sefer Shmuel, in Shmuel Bey's Perek Yudalad, where he was given a court case or fake court case between the Isha HaTakois, a woman from Tekoa, and her two sons, as to what the din was, David applied logic and gave a verdict which ultimately backfired on himself because she was being hired by Avshalom. Shlomo HaMelech didn't give a verdict. He listened more, and that's one of the things which is worthwhile noting, which is different over here as well. So there's a lot of profundity in the success over here of Shlomo HaMelech, and expressing that very unique perspective of what the greatest gift is, which is a lev shomea, being able to listen to others, being able to hear, because that is that at the core of it. In fact, the verse which is said upon the deathbed, any person who knows their about to expire, says the word Shema Yisrael Hashem and Akana Hashem Echad. We usually think that the main point is unifying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. But then if that's the case, then it should start with Hashem and Akana Hashem Echad. It doesn't. It starts with Shema, which is listen. Here, if you're able to hear, then you're able to get to the next stage, which is Yichud Hashem as well. And this is what Shlomo HaMelech is teaching us. With this, we close. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day and a beautiful Shabbos.